We are still teaching the book of Philippians from the Greek language. Now, we went to 2:1 through 5 before, and we had to let this mind be in you, which is Christ Jesus. And we're getting ready to go into number 6, but there was just so much in 1 through 5 that I was not satisfied with it. And I want to go back and bring this message to you, the mind of Christ. We won't be reading it from Greek in this message, but it is so much there that I just could not go on any further, because this lesson will lead us into the next lesson that is so very important because it's the deity of Christ. The mind of Christ. Philippians 2 and verse 1, and I'm reading it from the New American Standard, I believe. No, New International Version. And if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Now, what was the attitude? Who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be held on to, but made himself nothing, taking on very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Christ left glory. Christ left the absolute presence, the absolute essence of an epitome of glory, to come down to this earth to redeem you and me. Galatians 4 says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that He might redeem those that were under the law. In the book of Hebrews now, the writer of the book of Hebrews, whoever that was, possibly Apollos, it says, in the past God spoke to the forefathers through the prophets in many times and in various ways. But in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He made the universe. Colossians 1 and verse 16 tells us that Jesus Christ holds all things together by the power of His Word. And yet, the mind of Christ, He emptied Himself and came down to this earth that He might redeem us. Might redeem us, buy us out of sin and hell, and give us a place in heaven. And not only would He do that, but He'd go in place to heaven and build a place for us forever. Through whom He made the universe, the Son is the radiance of God's glory. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. And the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. Jesus Christ stood before the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, every one of these groups did not like each other. But enemies make strange bedfellows. So they all got together to try to destroy this one that was in their way. the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. When Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem on His triumphant entry, they said, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise Jehovah." And the Pharisees came up Him, the Sadducees came up to Him, the scribes came up to Him, the Herodians came up to Him and said, "Make them not say that. Make them stop saying that." He said, "If they would not speak, the rocks would cry out." After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of majesty in heaven. Jesus is there now making intercession for sinners like you and me. So it became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited superior to theirs. Jesus fulfilled all of the Jehovah titles. He fulfilled all of the Jehovah titles. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son. This day I have become your father and begotten you. I will be his father and he will be my son." The eternal Son of God, the eternal Son, Jehovah. Jehovah means he who shall become. John 1:14 says, "Kaiho logo sarx agento." And the Word, or the Jehovah, fleshy became and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:18 says, "No one has seen God at any time but the only begotten God, that one being in the bosom of the Father, he has led himself out." I will be his father, he will be my son. The eternal Son, the eternal Father. We talked about the glory, that Christ laid down his glory and came to this earth so he could suffer and die and partake of human flesh so he could be our kinsman redeemer. And again, when God brings forth his firstborn into the world, he said, "Let all of God's angels worship him." He is deity. Jesus was deity. Every step he ever crawled, or every inch he ever crawled, and every step he ever walked, he was deity, and yet he was humanity. In the speaking to angels, he says, he makes his angels winds. He makes his angels spirits. His servants flames of fire. But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, your throne, O Jehovah, will last forever and ever. Your throne, O Jehovah, will last forever and ever. And righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom." Jesus Christ laid down his glory, but he took up human flesh, but he did not lay down righteousness because he was righteous in the flesh, true righteousness. Righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. And he did that on this earth. Look at all of the things he said in Matthew 23 and Matthew 24. "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites." Woe, woe, that woe is uah. It means calamity. Calamity, calamity. He loved righteousness and hated wickedness. "Therefore God, your God, hath set you above all of your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." Jesus Christ there began to preach, and he had a forerunner before him, Elijah. Elijah, just like Eliezer in the Old Testament. John the Baptist came preaching that there's one that comes behind me whose shoelaces I'm not worthy to tie. And then when he saw Jesus walking there by the shore of the Jericho River, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world." Behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. "Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with oil." And when Jesus Christ was dipped in that water, he came up out of the water and the Holy Spirit dressed as like as a dove, came down and abode upon him. In the beginning, O Jehovah, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. And they will perish, but you will remain. We realize over here, at one time there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Everything that we see today is going to be purified and burned. It shall be changed. Some people say that it will totally be, God will totally rebuild a new earth or build a new earth. I think what he's going to do is just take all of man's works and burn them up. There will be not one pyramid, not one sphinx, not one thing on this earth by the mighty hands of rulers and people that will remain in eternal, in eternity upon this earth. And this earth will be in eternity. Jesus Christ will reign from this earth. They will perish, but you will remain. They will wear out like a garment. I have suits now. A lot of them are eaten up by moths, but many of my suits inside, the elbows are just worn out. All inside, they're worn out. Their threads are just hanging. They look pretty good on the outside. But they're worn out. Garments wear out. Socks wear out. Shoes wear out. I just had to buy some new shoes the other day. My shoes were just worn out. I could step on a dime and tell you whether it's heads or tails, so to speak, figuratively. Through my shoes. They all wear out like garments, like shoes, like robes. Now, I tell you what, I get every last thing out of every shoe, every coat, whatever. I'm still wearing shirts I wore 40, 50 years ago. I'll wear them until nothing's left of them. You'll roll them up like a robe. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all the angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who inherit salvation? God not only sent his Son into the world, the mind of Christ is that he came as a servant. He came as a servant. And Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus." The mind of Christ, he was set facing the cross of Calvary, set facing death. God brought his Son into this world to die for you and me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life. We must pay more attention, he said here, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. You don't need to just hear the Word of God and just go your way. A lot of people have done that. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape? If we ignore and we neglect so great a salvation. This salvation was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is the mind of a servant. And we ought to be like servants, too. We ought to be servants of God. A lot of people don't want to be a slave, a master. Andrew Johnson was a slave. Did you know that? President of the United States had been a slave. His mother sold him into slavery for 11 years. He had been sold into slavery. 11 years. He was a never went to a day of school in his life, not one day of school. The man had a great zest and zeal for learning. Everybody else went to the pubs and bars. He went to the Library of Congress to read and to study. Jesus is made like his brothers, us, our Goel. He's our Goel, our kinsman redeemer. Andrew Johnson knew what slavery was because he was a slave. He ran away. When God saves us, we are his servants from that moment on. We're not indentured for 5 or 10 years or whatever. We're indentured, what they call, to the completion, for the duration. For the duration. In World War II, when they drafted men into the army, it wasn't for 2 or 3 or 4 years. It was for the duration. When we're drafted into God's army, we're drafted in for the duration. Until the end. Wonders and various miracles. Jesus made like his brothers. Is it not to angels that he subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking? But there is a place where someone has testified. What is man that thou art mindful of him? What is the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels, because he could suffer death. Angels don't die. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet way beyond what he was in eternity past, but in eternity future. And after the resurrection, he had more glory than he had before, above all things. You put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. And yet at present, we do not see everything subject to him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of so he suffered death, so that by the grace of God we might taste death, he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both to the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are the same family. So Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call them brothers. And he says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here I am. And the children of God has given me. Since the children are flesh and blood, we are flesh and blood, are we not? We're fragile. I remember when I could run up these mountains up here when I was young. When I could pull a horse down, I could pull a wild Mustang down with a rope. Rope him and pull him down. Now you got to be pretty tough to do that. I remember all these things, but I'm weak and old now. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared their humanity, and so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who are all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. The last message I preached was the face of death. We don't need to fear death, because death to us is glory. Glory to come. Surely it is not angels he helps. Jesus Christ didn't die for angels. He died for you and me. The mind of Christ, he was set to be a servant. But Abraham's descendants, for this reason he had to be made like his brothers. The mind of Christ, to serve and to save and to redeem. In every way, in every order that he might, become merciful and faithful high priest. in service to God, as a slave unto God for our redemption, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he was able to help those who are being tempted. Christ is greater than Moses. Christ is greater than Abraham. Christ is greater than Paul. He's greater than John. He's greater than Noah. He's greater than Adam. Each and every one of you that are born into the world, God has a place for you, has something for you to do in this world. Holy brothers, he says, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus as Jesus fixed his mind on you, the mind of Christ. The apostle and high priest, we confess, he was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all of God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. Up here, there are three buildings built by Frank Lloyd Wright, a very famous builder. The buildings are beautiful. Frank Lloyd Wright is great, but he has a greater name than them. A lot of people don't even know these buildings are here. And they're beautiful. But he was greater than all. We look at what God creates. If a man has ever worked anything in this world, it's by the grace of God. Did you know that? If a woman is ever faithful in any way, if a woman is ever godly in any way, it's because of the grace of God. Every house is built by someone, the mind of Christ. But God is the builder of all things. Moses was faithful as a servant in all of God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's household. And we are his household. We are his house. If we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The mind of Christ was set for your salvation. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Reconciled. The world is already condemned. You are already condemned to hell. All mankind condemned to hell before Christ. But Christ set his mind on redeeming us. And we ought to set our minds on following Jesus. As Jesus followed the will of the Father and the eternal plan of salvation, even so we should follow Christ in his footsteps. We can follow Paul. We can follow Peter's footsteps. We can follow in John's footsteps. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We can follow in all of these footsteps that we've seen because Christ affected their hearts and affected their minds. And they put their mind, put Christ's mind in their hearts. As God sent his Son into the world, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem you and me. And we've made him been redeemed. We ought to show it. When we be redeemed, when we've been redeemed, we ought to act like it. When we've been redeemed, we ought to follow our Lord and Savior. Our Father, we send this message out for your honor and glory. Help us to follow you in Jesus' footsteps. Help us to follow you like Jesus obeyed your will in this world. Father, please forgive me where I failed you. In Jesus' name I pray.